Well, it is a joy to get to be here. We look forward to coming back just to get to see new faces, old faces. And it thrills my heart when God's working in the midst of a people. Amen. And I tell you, I wish Preacher was here. I was wanting to see Preacher too, but I understand and pray that God will be with him. Just a quick update of the ministry. God has just been opening doors for us. We just started our 22nd church, and God has been so good. Now between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, we used to be able to save 4,000 souls. Now it's 6,000 souls that are in local New Testament churches tonight around the throne of grace. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. Where our ministry in Haiti, I say it's coming to a close. Now, don't take this wrong. That doesn't mean we're coming home off the mission field. We've accomplished our mission. Amen. We planted 13 churches in Haiti. Those churches have gone out and started churches, and there's 30 churches in Haiti now. And they're all pastored by national pastors. Amen. They're all indigenous. They're all self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating ministries. So pray for those churches. Amen. On the Dominican side, as I said, we just started the 22nd church, and God has been so good to us. We praise the Lord for what He's doing. Give you a little update what's going on in Haiti since the earthquake. It was a major, major catastrophe. Never know the number of people that were lost. I remember the street of Delma, 7.5 miles long. Bodies stacked 3 and 4 deep from the bottom of the street to the top. You couldn't walk on the street for dead bodies. They were in there with payloaders, just loading them up, dumping them in trucks, hauling them off, dumping them in common graves. It was a very sad, sad scene because many of those people died without Christ. They died without Christ. And that brother, where's Brother Black? Where'd you go, brother? Oh, amen. I love that song. Amen. That's the first time I've heard that. Just, huh? You're kidding me. Amen, sister. You want to write something for me too? Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. Amen. That was beautiful. Tremendous message. And that's what's wrong. There's excuses going on. Amen. But I want to give you a little update. The government of Haiti has basically put a block on everything that was going on in Haiti. Right now, we are struggling even to get food into the country. We've taken in, before they put the blockade on, we'd already gotten 30 tons of food in, personally us, not counting what all the other organizations had done. But they put it to where now, if we go in with a truckload of food, we got to pay $1,000 U.S. duty on the food that we're giving away, or give it to the government so they can sell it on the black market. That's what's happening. And also, we are having trouble with some of the organizations that are over there. Red Cross, many people, maybe you gave to Red Cross. I'll forgive you if you did. I don't know if God will, but I will. Amen. Red Cross is squandering the money. They didn't have one building that was damaged in Haiti, and they took $1.2 billion of the aid money and are building a new facility in Haiti. They only lost 2 vehicles, and they've bought hundreds and hundreds of vehicles, haven't they, dear? We've seen 30 of them at the border on trucks, and each one cost $180,000. Now, what's going on in Haiti as far as construction? Nothing. The government warehouses are full of food, full of supplies that are being black marketed. We were at the border one day, wasn't we, dear? Red Cross, sitting at the border with their semi-trucks loaded rice and beans, selling them to the Dominicans. So, you know, I hate what's happening, but yet through it all, we're seeing souls saved. Amen? We thought at the beginning we was going to see hundreds and hundreds saved. We didn't. It was a hodgepodge of religion. Every religious group, every organization was there having their own religious service or whatever you want to call it. And all it was you come to my service tonight and we'll give you rice and beans and clothes. This guy comes tomorrow, we'll give you more rice and beans and clothes. And that's the way it was going. So we didn't get to see many people saved in the first part of this, but now we're starting to see the fruit of the labor. Amen. And a little girl, I'll give you one instance of one story. Her name is Anna. I don't know if you read it in our prayer letter about Anna. Anna's a little girl, there was 13 in the family. She's the only survivor. They pulled her out of the rubble, fractured legs, fractured arms. They brought her to a clinic in Haiti. They were unable to treat her. They shipped her to the Dominican in the town that we were in. But nobody knows Anna's name. She lost her memory through the tragedy. And she doesn't remember her mom or her dad or anybody. But when they got done treating her in the hospital, they just put her on the street because they didn't know who she belonged to. And a Haitian consulate found her on the street and said, "You need to go to Pastor Aubert's church. That's our church. Amen. I'm Pastor Aubert. And they'll help you." And we went there on Sunday morning. I went over early to pray, and there sat Anna just weeping on a pew in the yard of the church. And I went up and began to talk to her, and I asked her name. She goes, "I don't know my name." And through talking to her, I said, "Could I call you Anna?" And that's how she got her name, Anna. Well, Anna's been saved. Amen. Anna's been saved. God's working. We want to adopt her. We can't. Don't know her name. So our church has adopted her. Amen. She's our Anna. And what a blessing it is. Amen. What a blessing it is. And we want to thank you for what you did. You know, I don't have words to express the gratitude and the thanks. The English grammar doesn't have enough words in it to express our hearts of appreciation for what this church has done over the years. And I told my wife, the only way I know to show our appreciation is to just keep it on. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Amen. We want you to know how much we do appreciate it. Amen. We do appreciate it. The Bible College, we wish we had more students. We lost 7 of our third-year students in the earthquake. They'd gone home for Christmas. And they was getting ready to come back to the Dominican for their second semester of Bible College, the second half of it, and in a building waiting for a ride on a bus, and the building collapsed on them in the earthquake, and their bodies were never recovered. But in graduation this year, I preached on the greatest graduation, amen? It's not graduating from a Bible college that's great, amen? It's when you graduate out of this life into the other life, amen? When you get to see your Lord Jesus Christ, and we had a great time, but we sure miss him. We sure miss them, amen? But we've got 38 students in the Bible College this year, and we've got new students coming in this fall. We don't know how many we're going to have this fall coming in, new first-year students, but we've got 38 second-year and third-year students, so we're praising the Lord for that. And so just pray for us, amen, that God will continue to touch the hearts of people. Take your Bible this evening, 1 Kings chapter 17. Tonight I want to preach on a hero of mine, amen, Elijah. Elijah was a man of God that God used in a mighty way. Now the reason that God used Elijah was because of Elijah's obedience. And tonight I want to preach on obedience is the very best way. Amen? Obedience is the very best way. You know, as a boy growing up, my dad didn't know the difference. My dad, when he spanked me, it wasn't a spanking, it was a whooping. Now, do you know what the difference is between a whooping and a spanking? A spanking, you'll survive. A whooping, you might. Amen. A whooping you might. And it's a miracle to God that I'm here tonight. Amen. With all the whoopings that I got. But my dad was trying to teach me to be obedient to him and to obey his commandments. And he'd tell me to do something, I'd half-heartedly do it, and I'd pay the circumstances. I just hated it. I was hard at learning. Amen. In our area, you call it hard at learning. Amen. Hard-headed. Hard at learning. But anyway, Elijah was a man that was obedient to God. He was a man that loved God. He served God. Well, that doesn't mean that Elijah's life was perfect. There were some weak areas in Elijah's life. There were some weak times in Elijah's life. But Elijah was a man who wanted to serve God and obey God because Elijah knew that his life depended upon his obedience to God. So tonight, if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's word in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse number 1. Said Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the habits of Gilgad, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee thence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Father, this evening, God, we come into your presence with the expectations of your blessings. God, we've come a-thirsting and a-hungering. Father, I rejoice over what I hear about what happened this morning. But Father, once again, we come to pull up to the spiritual table. So Father God, I pray that the manna would fall from on high. Father, I pray that our souls would be quenched with the living water today, Father. Oh God, your presence, fill us, Lord. God, make us what you want us to be. Cause us, Father, to desire to change by the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight, Father. God, do a work and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Preacher, can I take my coat off? Amen. As we look at the life of Elijah, there's some reasons that Elijah was an obedient person. You know, as a little kid, we used to sing that song, "Obedience is the very best thing." You know, it's easy to sing, but it's hard to do. Amen? It's easy to sing, but it's hard to do. There's a lot of songs that we sing in the hymnals that we sing them with our hearts, but yet it's hard to complete or to do. And there's things in Scripture that are hard to do. There's things in Scripture that we know that we ought to do them, but we lack the obedience or the discipline to do them. But Elijah was a man that wanted to please God and depended upon God. Elijah had seen God do many miracles in his life, working in and through him. And I want God to be able to take our lives and do a work in and through us that the world would say, now those are people that God's hands upon them. Amen? That's a church that God's hands upon. And they'd want to be a part. So what is it that Elijah had that we need? First of all, Elijah had the basis of obedience. He had the basis of obedience. Look in verse number 1. And it said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilgad, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." The first point of Elijah's basis of obedience was his assurance of the living God. Elijah knew that he wasn't serving a statue. He wasn't serving some idol. He wasn't serving some king, but he was serving the King, the living God. And Elijah knew in his heart, because he had seen God work, he knew how God would work, and he had that assurance in his life. It's like Job in Job 19:25. And Job's wife had told Job, "Curse God and die." His friends told him, "You're the problem." But Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Amen? You know, it's an assurance when you know in your heart that you have a living God. You have a living Savior. Somebody that you can go to in the time of need. Job knew he could go to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 12, Paul had that assurance as he was speaking to Timothy and encouraging Timothy. He said, "I am persuaded." Why was Paul persuaded? Because of the assurance that he was able to keep that which he committed unto him. Paul had that assurance in him. And that's why Paul was a man that God used. Paul used him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, we love to tell the story. But do you realize what he said here? In verse number 16, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." This was after Nebuchadnezzar told him, bow down and worship the statue. Amen? The statue that he had built. He said, "You worship that statue or you're going to burn." They said, "We'd rather burn than bow." Amen? And they had an assurance in God, whether by death or by life. Now, I don't believe that they thought that Jesus was going to be in the fire. They thought they were going to see him after the fire. But when they got in the fire, there was Jesus. Amen? You may be going through a trial in life, but if you have the assurance like Paul had, if you have the assurance like Job had, if you have the assurance like Elijah had, you'll see God in the midst of the fire. You'll see him in the midst of the fire. See, he had an assurance. That was the basis of his obedience, assurance. But not only assurance. Look here if you would. Same verse. "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." He not only had assurance, he had an awareness of God in his life. God's presence. Oh, he knew that God was ever present with him. You know, it's exciting when you sense God in your life. Elijah sensed God's presence in his life. He seen God moving in ways that only he could understand because of God's presence in him. And you know, if we as Christians would come to the point to realize that God is ever present with us, you know, we're saved and we're sealed. My Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that the moment that we believe, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. God is ever with us. And we ought to live as though God is ever with us. But you know what's sad? Many a Christian will go out these doors tonight and they'll live different than what they are inside the church. We need to have that awareness of God's presence no matter where you go, no matter what you say, no matter what you do. God is ever with you. God is ever with you. You know, Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he was aware of God's presence. Moses sees the burning bush up on the mountain there, and Moses goes up to see what's going on. This bush is a fire but not being consumed. And as he came up on the bush, God said, "Stop, take off your shoes. You're walking on holy ground. You're walking on holy ground." Hey, do you want to know something? You came through those doors tonight. You know where you're at tonight? You're on holy ground. You're on holy ground tonight. You're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're in the presence of the Son, Jesus Christ. And they all want to be a part of your life. And Moses took his shoes off and he walked into the presence of God. Oh, listen, folks, if we would ever get into the presence of God. In Luke chapter 5, Peter, Jesus is teaching out of his boat to the multitude. And Jesus teaches the multitude, but he tests Peter. He teaches the multitude, but he tests Peter. He turns to Peter and he said, launch out into the deep and cast out your nets. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he taught on, but if you look at what he had him do, it was on obedience. It was on faith, believing in God. Said, launch out. What did old Peter do? Same thing we do. God, I toiled here all night. God, I toiled here all night. You know, Peter, he's saying, God, I worked at this thing. I'm the fisherman, and I know there's no fish out there. You know, Peter and I, we fish a little bit different. I go for relaxation, amen? You know what I do, Brother Black? I take usually my right shoe off, pull my sock off, tie the string around my big toe, and I throw that line in, hope something doesn't pull me in, amen? Doesn't pull me in. I lay there and I go to sleep and I enjoy it. I just go to relax, but Peter labored at this thing because it was his livelihood. It was his life. It depended on it. But Jesus said, launch out into the deep and cast out your nets. What did Peter respond? Because you told me to. Not because I want to. Because you told me to. I'll cast out a net. You will not find where he launched out in the deep. He didn't. He only cast out a net, singular. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ do with half-hearted obedience? He filled the boats, plural. He filled the boats. One net filled two boats. Amen? He filled the boats. And what happened? The Bible says when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet. He didn't say, oh, Lord, I messed up again. Can you forgive me? No, you know what Peter said? Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Folks, if we ever saw Jesus for what he was, we'd be on our knees and we'd be crying out, oh, God, I'm not worthy. Oh, God, I'm not worthy. Oh, listen, tonight, there's some of us that think we think we're worthy, don't we? We think we've arrived, don't we? Paul said he'd never arrived, amen? But if we ever saw Jesus for what he was, see, Peter knew Christ as his Savior. Peter knew Christ as the Messiah. Peter knew Christ as the person. But he didn't know the power of that person until the boat was filled. Do you know the power of him? Because see, when he's ever present, when you're aware of him, you'll know the power of him. You will know the power of him. Elijah, he knew the power of God. He had seen God work in and through his life. Peter, he saw what Christ could do. Oh, listen, folks. Elijah had the assurance and the awareness of God. That was his basis of obedience. But wait, there's another point. Look here what it says in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee thence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He not only had the assurance, he not only had the awareness, but he had the alertness. The alertness to the voice of God. You know what's sad in America today? God could speak and we don't hear. How many times have you come to church and you were too busy looking at your watch to make sure preacher quit on time because you wanted to go eat? How many times the message was being preached and you blocked it out or you said, boy, that's good for so-and-so? How many times have we done that? Huh? We have. We have. But Elijah, he was alert to the voice of God. When God spoke to Elijah, Elijah didn't question God. He didn't say, why the brook Cherith? God, why should I go there? There isn't a home there. I don't have a car there. I don't have a salary there. I don't have a promise of anything there, God. God said, I'm the promise. Amen? Elijah never questioned God. He just went obediently to the brook Cherith. Based upon what God had done in his life, his assurance of his God, his awareness of his God, and his alertness to the voice of God. Take, for instance, in Genesis 22, Abraham. When God called down to Abraham and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I, Lord. Abraham didn't go, what was that? That's what some of us do. Messages preached, and we say, what was that? Where'd that come from? Well, that preacher, just who's he think he is? You ever think it wasn't a preacher? Might just been God speaking to your heart? And you're so far from him, removed from him, that you can't hear him. His voice is so distant that you can't comprehend what he's saying. Imagine if Abraham would have been that way. When God said, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I, Lord. No question about it. God, I'm here. I hear you. take thy son, thine only son, amen, and take him up to the mountain and crucify him to prove your love for me. Now, this would have been Bob Johnston. Isn't there a better way? Is there something else we can do here, God? I mean, this is the son of promise. God, this is the one that you said that we were to wait upon. We waited. You blessed us with this son. This is the son of promise that the nations are going to come out of like the sands of the sea. And God, you want me to crucify him? There's got to be a better way, God. Have you ever tried to find a better way? Hey, we're good at that, aren't we? We try to figure out our way because we want it to match our schedule or our lifestyle. God's ways are not our ways. What did Abraham do? Abraham took his son, his only son, the son of promise. He took the wood, he took the fire, told the men, we'll be back. Amen. Abraham, I believe he believed in his heart that he was literally going to sacrifice that son and that he was going to rise again. And they're heading up the mountain. Oh, Isaac goes, well, Daddy, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Don't worry, son. God's got it all under control. Amen? God will provide a sacrifice. And when he got up there, you know, Isaac never questioned his father. You never see where Isaac struggled and battled with his father. He just laid her out, amen? Laid out on that rock. And Abraham drew that knife up to kill the child of promise, God said, Abraham. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, there's a ram in the thicket. What if he'd have been hard of hearing? What if he'd have been so far from God? The promise would have ended right there. Abraham was a man who had an alertness to the voice of God. How long's it been that you came to an old altar and your tears just flowed because God spoke to your heart? How long's it been you sat in the message and the preaching got a hold of you to the point you couldn't sit in that pew any longer and you came down the altar? Didn't matter if the preacher was preaching, didn't matter if somebody was singing, but you came down and you laid on that altar because God was speaking to your heart in such a way you had to respond. How long has it been? Elijah was a man of obedience. The basis of his obedience was his assurance, his awareness, and his alertness. But you know what Elijah found? Because of his obedience, he found the blessing of obedience. The blessing of obedience. Look in verse number 3. It says, get thee thence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Do you see what the blessing of obedience is? First of all, it's God's preparation. God's preparation. When you're obedient to God, God will take care of you. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't do something after he tells you to do it. God does it beforehand. Look what he said here to Elijah. He said, get thee thence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have, not I will, not I can, not sometime maybe. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God had already made all the preparation for Elijah. The ravens knew where to go. The ravens knew their job. The ravens were to take care of God's man. Elijah just had to obey. Now, there was a condition on God's blessing. Do you know what that condition was, Brother Black? There. He had to be there. Not just here, there. Do you know why many Christians aren't being blessed today? You're just here, you're not there. You're just here. Do you know what the difference is between here and there, if you spell it? It's the T. You know what that T stands for? The cross. You want to be where God's at, then you're going to have to be where he's at, the cross. The only difference between here and there is the cross in your life. Where is God in your life, and where are you in your life with God? Elijah, he didn't question God. He trusted God. He had seen God work, so now he finds the blessings. God's preparation. God's preparation. It's not, I will do this. I have already done this, God said. If God has called you, if God has challenged you to do a work for him, don't worry about what's ahead. He's already planned for it. Just obey him and trust him. How many of you here tonight, God has spoken to your heart at some time along the way, maybe to do something in the ministry? You know what the problem is? Many of you are just here, you're not there. And you know what would have happened to Elijah had he just been here?
Elijah, do you know how long the brook Cherith is, preacher? 14 and a half miles long. Elijah walking along the brook Cherith there. As he walks along the brook Cherith, he could have come up beside a tree, sat down by that old tree. Nice root there, could have made like a recliner, amen? And he'd been right by the brook. He could have reached out of that vessel, got a little drink of water, and he looked there, sat down, seen how it was set good there, and he looked up and there wasn't there. Wrong address. And so he got up and he went on till he found the there. Do you know why? Because the ravens were commanded to bring the food there. Do you know how close many of you are to God's blessings? You're just under the wrong tree. You're sitting in the midst of God's house. You're hearing the preaching of God's word. And God has spoken to your heart about doing something. And you won't move from this seat to this one by faith. See, God's blessing. See, if Elijah hadn't moved from that first tree to find the right tree, the ravens would have brought the food every day. But Elijah wouldn't have been there to receive it. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? Why we see other people being blessed and we're not blessed? We're under the wrong tree. It's time to ask God, God, where's my there in this ministry? God, where's my work to be done for you? God, show me my place that I might have your blessings in my life. That's what Elijah wanted. He wanted the blessings of God. He found God's preparation, but then he found God's provision. Look at this. In verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. There's that obedience, amen. No question about it. He just went and did. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And what happened? It says the ravens brought him fresh bread in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. Can you imagine that? Oh, Elijah sitting by that brook. He's there every morning, gets up, kind of stretches a little bit maybe, and takes that cup, gets him a good cold drink of water, drinks it down, and says, okay, God, breakfast. Here comes the ravens. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of bird is a raven? Scavenger. You know what those rascals did? They snatched food off somebody else's table. You know, that was God's first, God had the first catering service, amen? Raven cuisine, amen? Raven cuisine. Had somebody ask me, what do you think that bread was baked? I said, God doesn't do anything halfway. He does it all the way, amen? I said, didn't tell me there was a stove there. Didn't tell me he had a fire. Said he just ate the bread and the flesh, amen? God doesn't do anything halfway. If God calls you, God's already prepared fully your needs. But can you trust him, obey him? By faith. Do you have that in you to really believe God can do this? Do you know what the difference between most people are when it comes to faith? The common Christian faith is saying, oh, I know God can. It don't take faith to know that God can because there's nothing that God can't do. Do you know what faith is? God will. I know that God will. And do you know what the greatest faith is? That God will do it for me. He'll do it for me personally. See, God will do that for you. He did it for Elijah. Elijah found the preparations of all that he needed. He found the provision that all that he needed. But not only did he find that, look what else he found. By being in the will of God, by obeying. Said it in verse 5 again. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and did what? Dwelt. You know what that means? To dwell someplace? That's a place of peace. You have God's preparation, God's provision, and God's peace when you're in the will of God. But the only way you're going to be in the will of God is to be obedient to God. And Elijah sat by that brook and dwelt. You know, I've been some places I couldn't dwell. I love chicken wings, amen? I believe it's the best part of the chicken, amen? Gizzard might be number one, amen? But anyway, I love chicken. I love, amen, sister. That's why you can write such good songs. You know on gizzards, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I love chicken wings, and we didn't know what a buffalo wing store was or a restaurant, whatever you call it. And I told Mary, I said, wings. That truck just kind of turned automatic, amen? We pulled in there, never been in one, said buffalo wings. Man, I've got my eyes in my imagination, this big plate of wings, amen, some barbecue sauce, and I mean, I'm ready. We walk in, you know what it was? A bar. Don't go to the buffalo wing restaurant. Because if you're a Christian, you can't dwell there. Walked in and the lady said, "Can we help you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I'm leaving." Said, "I can't dwell here." I was not at ease in the presence of alcohol, in the presence of all the things that were surrounding me. I couldn't dwell there. I've been in some churches I couldn't dwell. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. And they got a name Baptist on them. We were in a church this year. Our heart sunk, didn't it, dear? They were a gun barrel straight church. Went this year, and what do you call those things? Those bongos. Man, they're up there. Boom, 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 boom. They're just bongoing it, amen? And I'm sitting there, and I'm boiling with the bongo. Amen? Buddy, they messed up when they let me preach that day. I burnt the bongos from the pulpit, amen? I'll tell you something. There's some places you can't dwell. And Elijah found God's dwelling place by being obedient to God. Have you ever felt that your life was just in turmoil? You just can't get it right? Maybe you're so close to you're there, but you're just standing here. Get closer to the cross, and you'll find your dwelling place at Calvary. You'll find your dwelling place at Calvary. So the blessing of obedience is the fact of God's preparation, God's provision, and God's peace. The basis of obedience was his assurance, his awareness, and his alertness. But after the blessing of obedience comes the burden of obedience. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. It says, "And it came to pass after a while," "that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Now, who prophesied that there would be no rain? Elijah did, amen? Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit that came up on him, he prophesied and God fulfilled the prophecy. God fulfilled it. But here sits Elijah. Now, what is the burden of obedience? Elijah, can you imagine this? He's sitting by the brook. He knows God's feeding him daily. The ravens haven't missed a lick. They keep coming. And all of a sudden, the brook starts drying up. He starts dipping out of that brook. Now, I want you to look at verse number 7. It didn't say was drying up. It said had dried up. Past tense. It was already dried up. Brother Dave, you know what I'd have done? I'd already had a well dug in the middle of that rock bed. Amen? I'd have been looking for water. Or I'd have probably went looking for another brook. That's what we would have done. When your brook starts drying up, what do? Man, you don't wait on God. You start running, trying to find more water. Another brook. But Elijah didn't. You know why? Because Elijah wanted God's will so bad. It wasn't just the fact that he wanted to be obedient to God, but he wanted the will of God. Now, why? His life depended on him being in the will of God. Because, see, the prophecy, no rain had been fulfilled. The famine was affecting him just like it was affecting everybody else. And had he gotten out of the will of God, he would have died just like everybody else in the famine. How many Christians do you know that's died on the vine? They got out of the will of God. They got out of the will of God. They saw the brook starting to dry up a little and they took off. Oh, there's better work over here. Too bad there's not a good church. You know, God never moved Elijah where his presence wasn't. If you run in God's presence, isn't there a good independent Baptist church that you can go of like faith? Like belief, you shouldn't move. You should wait on God. And that's what Elijah did. The burden of obedience was wanting God's will and waiting for God's will. He waited. The brook had dried up. There was no more water. He was just waiting on God to tell him what to do. Are we willing to do that? Huh? If your brook dried up, you lost your job. You lost your income. You lost your hope. Would you have the faith and the obedience to wait on God? Would you? Would you be running around like a chicken with a head cut off trying to find something to replace it? Many people don't even think about God when it comes time for the brook to dry up. When it comes time for the brook to dry up. But he waited on God's will. Listen to what it says here in verse number 7. And the word of the Lord, verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Elijah wanted it so bad, he waited until God moved him. He didn't try to move God. God moved him. How many times have you moved and asked God to catch up with you? How many times? How many times have we caused, husbands, how many times have we caused our family to suffer because we didn't wait on God? Mom, Dad, how many times has our children suffered because we saw something better on the other side of the fence? And how many of our children have gone by the wayside because we moved before God moved us? How many of our grandchildren, you teens, you're at a vital point of your life. You need to decide, are you going to wait on God because you want His will so bad? Now why? Because to Elijah it was worth everything. He wanted it, he waited on it because of the worth of it. You know what the worth of it was? His existence. You know what's sad about teens today? Most teen groups, less than 2% stay in a church. Less than 2%. You know why? Many a time mom and dad say, this is what you need to do. Even though the preacher may say, I really feel God's leading you. Well, that, you know, listen, there's no money in the ministry. Hey, listen, the ministry is not about money. It's not. It's about souls. In the ministry, you send your rewards ahead for eternity. You young people, you ought to want God's will for your life so much that you are seeking it daily in prayer and asking God to direct you. Because, see, your future depends on it. Look at Elijah here. His future depended on it. In verse number 9, he says, arise, get into Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Uh-oh, there it is again. There's the peace of God, the dwelling, amen? And there's that there again, a specific place. And behold, I have what? Commanded, not will commanded. He commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. God did it again. That's the bounty of obedience. God proving himself over and over to you. You know, my wife and I, we can give you testimony after testimony after testimony how God is proving himself over and over and over. But there's so many Christians today, you have not a testimony of what God has done for you. Too many Christians are living on the past and they have nothing in the present. Elijah. Can you imagine what he thought when he walked through the gate of Zarephath? Now, preacher, there's four gates to Zarephath. What would have happened had he gotten to Zarephath but went through the wrong gate? That's how important it is to be obedient to God. If he hadn't gone through the gate where the widow woman was, he would have been at Zarephath, but out of God's will. That's why I said there's many here in the church. You're at God's place, but you're still not in the will of God for you. See, God didn't save you to warm a pew. God saved you to wear out a shoe telling others about Jesus. God saved you for a ministry within this ministry that others might know Him. The joy that you have, He wants others to have. And He's given us the privilege to do it. But we have to be obedient. We have to be in our place. Can you imagine as Elijah walked into the city of Zarephath, he saw that widow woman picking up two sticks. Now see, if that had been me, I'd have thought when God sent me to Zarephath, he said, now there's going to be a widow woman there. I thought, now this woman's got money, amen. And she's probably got a nice house. God's going to take care of me. But what do you think Elijah thought when he saw this widow woman picking up two sticks? And she said to him, all I got's a little meal, a little oil. I'm just going to fix a little bread. We're going to eat it, my son and I, and we're going to die. Elijah probably went, oh God, what have you done? No. You know what Elijah did? God did her again, amen? He rejoiced because everything that God told him he would find, he found it. He found it. Man, I tell you what, the bounty of obedience is watching God prove himself over and over and then preserving the saint. Now, wait a minute. Brother, would you have picked a widow woman? Would you have picked a raven? You know why Elijah was so excited? If God can sustain me with two ravens, he can sure do it with a widow woman. Amen. If God can do it with ravens, he can do it with a widow woman. Amen. Elijah was encouraged. He walked into the city, into the gate. The widow woman's picking up these two sticks, and he says to the widow woman, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water that I might drink. And the widow woman had no problem. She stood right up and started out to get the water. And then he said, and fetch me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread that I may eat. Stopped her in her tracks. Stopped her dead in her tracks. You know why? She had water. Water was not the problem. But food was. Stopped her dead in the tracks. And you know what she said to him? As the Lord thy God liveth. Not my God, your God. As the Lord thy God liveth. Huh? As the Lord thy God liveth, he knoweth that all that I have is a little meal and a little oil. And I'm going to take these two sticks and I'm going to make a fire and I'm going to fix that little bit of meal and oil. Do you know how minute a meal and oil she had? Two little sticks were going to fix it. Maybe some of you can remember cooking with an old wood stove. It didn't take two little sticks to bake bread, amen? I remember carrying it for my grandma. If she was going to bake several loaves, I'd have to carry half a cord of wood in. Man, I like the bread though, amen? But all she had was two little sticks. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, not my God, your God. He knows the condition I'm in. You know, that's the same excuse we use. God wants you to do something to God. You just don't understand my condition. Oh, really? God knows more about you than you do. And God knows your need before you even ask. The problem is we have problem obeying. We have problem believing because we have not obeyed. What did Elijah say to the woman? See, Elijah said God did her again. Amen. He saw the widow woman. He knew he was in the right place. He was in that dwelling place. He was in that there again. And he said to the widow woman with firm assurance, fear not. Brother, you know how many fear nots there are in the Bible? No, there's more than that. Oh, she said verse 13. I thought she said there's 13. There's 365. One for every day. Can you trust him? Can you obey him? Fear not. Fear not. God's on the scene. Amen. 365. And that widow woman, the bounty of obedience was God proving himself again to Elijah that he was able and he was a God that cared, proving to Elijah his preserving the saint, and also now proving to this widow woman that Elijah, through his faith in God, his obedience to God, what happened? It provoked this widow woman to faith. See, the bounty of obedience is when your life provokes somebody else to faith. This widow woman, all she had was a little meal. But she believed in God's man. Now, why did she believe in God's man? Because she saw the assurance that he had in his God. She saw that he knew it wasn't a hope-so that God was going to take care of them. It was a no-so. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since your faith provoked somebody else to believe? How long has it been? You know, you don't have to do something special to prove that Christ lives in you and you believe in Christ. You just live it by obedience to Christ. Do you know why more teenagers are discouraged today than any time in history? Because mom and dad have not been obedient. And they don't see that it's real. Grandma and grandpas have lacked to be obedient, causing the mom and dads to be disobedient, causing the grandchildren and third and fourth and fifth generation. What was the first sin in the world? Disobedience to the command of God. And God asks us to be obedient to him. Has your faith, your assurance in your God,
your trust in a living Savior provoked others to faith. Elijah provoked this woman to faith. What'd she do? She took what little she had, brother, and she prepared it. He said, prepare one for me first. Now, you know how the devil would work? As she was mixing up that little bit of meal and oil, the devil was probably saying to her, now you know this is all you have. And you know if you do this, he's taking what little bit of life you have away from you. See, the devil always tries to make you think that what God wants to do for you is taking away from you. Started in the Garden of Eden. He's still working the same today. But anyone that God used was an obedient servant. Elijah's faith provoked this woman to fix that cake and believing in what he had said about his God. And what happened? The meal and the oil never wasted till the rain came again. In the midst of a famine, will they see that you waste not away? Or will they see a faith so strong in your God, in your Savior, that they will draw from you a hope and a faith from your life? What is our life? It's but a vapor to appear for a little while and vanisheth away. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Truly, obedience is the very best way. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. I want to ask a question. Please, everyone, heads bowed and eyes closed. This is a private time. Who here tonight would say, Brother Bob, I know that I am saved. Just hold your hand up. You're a child of the King. Oh, amen. I'm talking to God's people tonight. You can put it down. Now, I didn't look all over because it's not between me and you. It's between you and God. But maybe there was somebody here tonight that said, Brother Bob, I don't know for sure that if I was to die right now that I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. And I want to be obedient to God's calling to my life for salvation. Brother Bob, would you pray for me? Just an uplifted hand. Amen. I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another? Amen. Christian, I want to ask you a question. How many here tonight would say, Brother Bob, God spoke to my heart through this message. My ears were open and I heard from heaven tonight. Would you lift your hand up? Hold them up high as a testimony. God spoke to your heart all over the auditorium. All over the auditorium, you can put them down. Do you know why God spoke to your heart, Christian? Because he wants you to be obedient. He wants you to come and to fellowship with him. See, we have this concept in Christianity today that the singing and preaching is worship. Oh, no, 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 no. The singing prepares our heart for the preaching. The preaching prepares our heart for worship. What is true worship? It's that one-on-one fellowship with the Father at an old-fashioned altar. If God spoke to your heart tonight, would you come? Would you come? Would you come tonight? You raised your hand. I didn't make you. You said God spoke to you. There's a dear person that raised their hand, and I'm going to pray for them right now. And I pray that that person would come. Father, we want to thank you for showing up tonight. And God, we want to thank you for the work that you're doing in the heart of your children. God, that we would be obedient to you, that we might see the blessings. Father, I pray for this one that raised her hand, Father, for salvation. I pray, Lord, that she would come. Father, we don't drag people, but Father, we invite them to Calvary. Oh, Father God, tonight, have your will in your way. God, speak to the hearts of your people tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Will you come? You may say, Brother Bob, I can't kneel down like I used to. Hey, you sit right down there in that chair and God will listen to you. God will hear you. He knows your heart tonight. Preacher, would you come?
I know I've said this lot of times. But there's only two reasons to come to the altar. One, because the Lord spoke to you. The other is because He didn't. And I've got to be honest with you, after a day like this, I can't even imagine not spending some time at the altar. The altar anymore is becoming a dying event. I'm thankful that I serve in an old-time Baptist church where we don't just talk about the altar, we want to make it something very important. And in your lives, please understand, the altar is a form of obedience that the Lord spoke to you tonight. Why in the world wouldn't we want to get it settled? Why wouldn't we want to talk to Him just for a few minutes? Well, preacher, you're just trying to drag me down to the altar. Glory to God, I would to God that somebody drag you. I'm so thankful that the Lord is still working. I'm so thankful that the Lord is still interested in old-time religion. But you know what? The Lord's interests have never changed. They've never differed. Behold, I'm the Lord your God. I change not. He's always been interested in our obedience. And if you're anything like this preacher standing here, you disobey quite often. I would to God we'd change that. How sweet it is to be in obedience. It was always sweet to be in obedience of my parents because I never got whooped when I was obedient. Sure it'd be great to be obedient to the Lord and watch Him do wonderful miracles. Why don't we see Him do miracles anymore? I wonder if it has anything to do with our obedience. Why don't we see Him do great and mighty revivals? I wonder if it has anything to do with our obedience. And as preacher always says, and this is an above average church. I know I talked to you a little bit. Why do we hurry to get out of church? Why are we in such a hurry to go home? Why can't we make our dwelling place there? I like that thought He gave about being there. The Lord said to Moses, go up into a mountain apart and be there. Just be there. I love that thought. I would to God everywhere I went, I was there. Thank you, preacher. Thank you for a wonderful message. Dear Lord, I come to you tonight expressing gratitude for a message that I definitely needed to hear. Lord, my heart was blessed tonight, realizing that I need to be more obedient today than I've ever been, realizing that I have so many shortcomings, Lord, but you still love me, gaining confidence from the fact that even though Elijah had some shortcomings, you still provided for him, you still took care of him. Lord, please take care of me. Lord, I realize that we are on the cusp, I believe, of something very great here at Bethel Baptist Church, but I also realize that the minute we step away from obedience, that promise is gone. Lord, be with these people tonight. Let them be proud to say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Let them say when they go home that they had a great Lord's Day today. Lord, I thank you for Brother Bob and Miss Mary, faithful missionaries that have started so many wonderful works, but Lord, it was your hand that started them. So many wonderful things on their resume, but Lord, you're the one that provided the resume. Lord, I'm so thankful that I serve in a church and people that know that, that Lord, everything comes from you. Lord, help us tonight to have our hearts stirred, but the stirring doesn't go away throughout the week. Help our lives to change, not just for a moment, not just for tonight. Help our lives to change from now until ever. Lord, please be with us tonight in a special way And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.